Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You guys are matching today. How cute.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even try it.
Nope.
But Doran knew. He saw the future.
I did. I was like, Pat is absolutely going to wear the shirt today. I'm going to wear
it. Oh,
well,
it's crisp outside. Mm-hmm. A little bite in the air this morning. I love it.
Meanwhile, Harry Callis is wearing the same shirt he wore yesterday.
We're taking a bite out of the air.
You can't really talk.
Why?
You wore a sweatshirt last week that you never washed that has visible armpit stains on it. Nice sweatshirt. Love the throwback West Virginia logo.
Yeah, at least
you should probably wash that thing.
At least I took this off yesterday after our shift. And then I just put it back on this morning.
What compels you to wear it again? Just the chilliness? You don't have any other
shirt? Yeah, he wore yesterday.
Same exact shirt.
It's because he's lazy.
Correct.
And there's nothing else probably clean, and that's the easiest.
Callis, I have a piece of advice
for
you.
Look, I've been
you have a van. Put an extra wardrobe in your van.
Listen, all right.
We should all have extra wardrobe in our cars.
Just in case.
Just as men. You never know what could happen.
I've been like extra underwear.
Yep.
Just you never know.
Well, I was overseas, Pat.
You wore them this week.
No. Well, I didn't wear them for fun. I wore them
on the ride on the plane home.
Nine-hour plane ride. I wore the panties.
Oh, I would just wear an old pair.
Yeah,
that's what Doug said yesterday.
That's what everyone said.
I would go get some.
Harry, so you don't have any extra like long sleeve shirts?
Well, yeah, you're deflecting now. You don't want to talk about the underpants anymore. I understand. No, I have been losing weight. I've been getting chillier now because I don't have the fat on me anymore to protect me against the cold.
Like a beluga
and so
whale.
So I'm slowly warming up to the idea of wearing a jacket. And this is the only shirt I wear that's like thick. It's almost like a. It's more of a sweater than anything.
It's one of those waffle patterns. It's kind of. It's kind of like the same as long johns.
Yeah.
It's
not so
right, what are you scared about, Crowley?
No. That's corduroy.
What are you scared
lines.
About? You say you were scared about something.
Mike Tomlin, 2-9 Thursday night football on the road, 0-6 in division. I didn't see a way the Bengals would win. Now I do. I'm scared of Joe Flacco. Should I be?
No.
Ooh. Go on.
Was it next week?
Yeah.
Coming off of a win at Cleveland, win against Cleveland.
You think they're going to beat Cleveland?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'll say this. Joe scares me more than Browning.
Browning, yeah.
But their defense is god-awful, with the exception of one player. He scares me. Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson against Broderick Jones, Myles Garrett against... Because both those guys are game wreckers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... Interesting comments, too, from Mike T this week about not playing Freiermuth against 4-3 teams. Really interesting.
They don't believe that he could be a blocker.
That's...
He's just a glorified receiver.
They're paying him a lot of money to be the fourth receiver on the team.
And that's what he's been.
Then when he's had opportunities, he's dropped the ball, too. But I think they're going to win the next two games. Since he doesn't scare me without Joe Burrow.
I mean, I don't think they can protect Flacco, and he can't move.
Picking up a new offense. Two elite receivers, obviously.
Did you see he was flying coach yesterday?
He always does that, man.
I can't believe that. How do you not get my man a private flight?
Right.
Well, I mean, when you're paying a guy millions of dollars, you're not going to jet him in.
Well, it is the Bengals after all.
That is true.
Well, it
any
is,
other
but still, like,
probably
you
would.
Pay your own. You pay your own freight. I mean, what's your experience with getting traded and stuff?
I'm not Joe Flacco.
Yeah, well, yeah, Joe Flacco's the, what, they're like fourth option to play for them this year?
Nobody reached out to me to be the starting quarterback. If I was starting quarterback, people are flying me in.
Well, not after that performance last night as the standing QB. Just dreadful.
Well, he just got benched against, he got benched in favor of Dylan Gabriel, too, in Cleveland.
You are in a bad way at the quarterback position if you are trading for a Browns quarterback to come help you. You are in a bad
Plus,
way.
Plus, what's the flight from Cleveland to Cincinnati?
Can't be long.
18 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same as Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, right?
He probably wasn't going from Cleveland, though. He probably went wherever his home base is. He probably left Cleveland. He probably has like a little apartment in Cleveland. Just like, all right, I'm out. Probably went back home wherever he lives.
I mean, his lot in life improved dramatically by getting to throw to Chase and Higgins now, because Jerry Jeudy has become pretty much non-existent. They got good tight ends, but he's got to be pinching himself. But that's a lot to learn real quick. He's going to get exactly one practice before playing.
I don't think that there's going to be really anything to learn. If I was Zach Taylor, I'd be like, yeah, just here's 10 plays. And,
mm-hmm.
then you draw up 10 plays within the 10 plays that you like, and then we'll roll with that. And I mean, just play backyard football. You got two of the best receivers in the league.
So let me ask you a real nuts and bolts question. So Flacco jumps on coach, flies to Cleveland, has one practice.
Cincinnati.
Whatever. Cincinnati. Then that is important to clarify. Goes, plays Green Bay. So when Kevin Stefanski is calling a play, he'll have a quarterback wrist, right? And you'll just say one. And Flacco looks down and reads the play. Is that how that goes?
In his helmet.
It probably. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Joe Flacco wear a wristband. There are certain guys in the NFL that wear a wristband, and they number plays because you have a certain allotted amount of time.
It was 15 seconds.
Till 15 seconds on the play clock in college. I think it's similar in pro. They're the same plays. It's just the verbiage is going to be a little bit different, and I don't know.
And that's why I was wondering if you just say, hey, Joe, you want to play two, and he looks down and he can read the verbiage off.
Right. I think that could be a Band-Aid for a week like this where you get one practice. There's also, right, when they're going to run the football, he's got an opportunity to tell them, like, whatever they call it, right, you know, 60 bob.
Yep.
Hey, that's the outside zone right, Joe.
Yeah,
like, that's your
right.
Footwork. Like, he'll be able to contextualize even if he doesn't have the full terminology. Now, where they might be a little bit behind is, okay, this, you know, whatever they call their scat protection and hots and vulnerabilities and protection adjustments, play-to-play kills, right, you know, audibles, alerts, things like that. You know, Joe's accustomed to doing all those things, but it's going to be all new verbiage for him. And that's where they're probably going to have to be a little bit more basic, but then again, you know, you're throwing the ball to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Right.
So max it up, you know, try to run the ball effectively and keep things pretty simple, you know, because the alternative hasn't been working. They had a guy that knew the whole offense, has been there for a long time, and they still were bad.
Yeah, I think he's without more mobile than Flacco, excuse me.
Right. So I think the plan will tailor to Joe. It'll be a limited menu, and he'll have to explain some things through the headset. That's such an advantage, though. Like in old football, right? You don't have the opportunity unless you're Kenny Pickett and you're running the sideline.
I was just gonna bring up the whip
but that's why Whip did it, is to be able to say, here's what I'm looking for,
right? Uh-huh.
Right, and that's the added bonus of the green dot, both offensively and defensively.
A lot of the plays will be tagged. It'll be like, all right, here's the formation, Joe, and it's like Jamar slant, T post, or X post Z slant, something like it. Everything will be tagged. Y, you know, read.
Yep.
Am I just naive to be surprised that he's playing this week, starting this week? Like I thought, like, for sure he'd play against the Steelers, but I can't believe my man gets one practice and you're throwing him out there at Lambeau Field.
Well, honestly, man, like, real quick, like, there, I don't know this for a fact, but personally, there's been offenses where I was in and then I got cut and then got picked up and then was able to go into that offense because it was the same exact offense that I had learned in college. Like, it's the same terms. It was the same motions, everything. And they knew that. Like, the coaches knew that. They're like, Dorn, get right in there right now and you'll know the offense. You'll know where to motion. You'll know where to line up. I'm pretty sure in a situation like this that wherever Joe has been, he's been in this type of offense.
Yeah, there's going to be some overlap.
Yeah. So like that's how they feel that comfortable for him playing this.
Yeah, there's like trees of offense where the terminology is pretty common. In the NFL, you're not seeing a disparate group of like, this is how, like, maybe there's a couple different offenses, right? Baltimore might be a little bit different than most. New Baltimore, not old Baltimore. That being said, I mean, I'm playing him this week if I'm Zach Taylor, because they're 2-3. They're 1-0 in the division.
And what do you have to lose?
They're playing Green Bay.
Yeah.
On the road. Hey, You know, we lose this game, we don't hurt ourselves at all. He gets his feet wet with those guys. We're going to ride him for a while. And we got a chance to go get a division win on Thursday night at home against Pittsburgh, and he's already got a game under his belt. So they got nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's why it worries me a little bit that he gets this game under his belt before he plays Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
My wow. God, Pittsburgh. Texture writes in, I got fooled by the internet. That picture of Joe Flacco is old that's been circulating around. They drove a car to pick him up. So about a 3 hour and 15 minute drive, and he was studying the playbook on that drive. My bad.
Yeah.
So he was in Cleveland.
He was in Cleveland, drove from Cleveland to Cincinnati.
But, you know, game plans and like he's reading the playbook just to get a general understanding of how are you calling this protection? How are we calling this protection? You know, what are the run families and so forth? Game plans are they're not a limited menu. You can still pull from everything else, but you've got your base down first and 10 calls, your second and long calls, your third and long, third and medium, third and short, red zone, short yardage. And there's four or five plays in each category that you really feel good about. And you've got to get him feeling really good about, you know, so he's got to kind of know the answers to the test. It's going to be the, what if they do something different? What's my out here? That's going to be where they're a little bit, I would think they have to be somewhat limited in his freedom at the line of scrimmage to make changes, not knowing what that mechanism is for them.
In like 2 minute, like whenever they get in a 2 minute situation, that might be dicey, but you could always throw in like 10 plays, like I was saying before, of like, here's some, Joe, what kind of signals do you like? All right, just signal. And then we're going to go max protect the whole time in 2 minute, and then give signals to the receivers. Like
well,
that may be the situation.
Yeah, once, and when the ball's dead, you know, they can talk to him.
Mm.
So they can say, hey, we're going to get in trips and, you know, we're going to run this and, you know, here's a signal. You go through the signals for those 10 plays, and they're able to alter formation and so forth. Whereas before, that would all have to be signaled to everybody. The quarterback would have to get the signal from the sideline, get whatever number it is, and then go. Now with the green dot, which has been in the NFL forever, it's newer in college, so it's fresher for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually listening to Lane Kiffin talking about it yesterday, like sequencing calls from third to fourth down and having the coach communication, like, here's the look we're looking for. It's such an advantage. They could basically tell you in your head, like, hey, if they get in this alignment, you know, so-and-so's blitzing, right? Or if they blitz, we're getting to this. You'd have to write that on a wristband or talk about it during a timeout before.
Did you guys see the video of Matthew Stafford in the huddle bitching about McVay being in his headset too long?
Yeah, he's still going.
He's still going. Can you believe it? He's still going. He's still talking right now. Baker Mayfield, by the way.
Dude.
Picked up. I don't think he even practiced once and won a game for the Rams a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Just as an example. Yes, Baker Mayfield is a dude. Drew Aller, not so much. And CBS Sports, their latest mock draft, has the Steelers taking the maligned Penn State quarterback. Our thoughts on that. We quiz Harry Callis. It's a great category this week before the hour is up right now. A reminder, you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there is never a fee unless we get money for you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Give us a ring in the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I started scratching out the wrong read, so I'm going to read it, so I don't forget to do it later. Segment brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Before the hour is up, we will quiz Nicholas Harry Callis. Jeff Hathorn joining us at 9:35. Penn State lost to UCLA.
Oof.
I was going to leave a pregnant pause there for people to laugh along in their cars. That team didn't have coaches. The offensive coordinator, the new Heisel youngster, he didn't know how to work the headset.
Right.
Literally twice in the middle of calling plays, he took his finger off the button and I'm Oliva couldn't hear the play call. So he had to improvise. And Penn State still lost. But I don't want to talk about James Franklin. I mean, I do, but we've kind of beat that dead horse. CBS Sports came out with their latest mock draft yesterday, and they had the Steelers drafting Drew Aller. I just want to go through some game logs for you on our buddy Drew, who I'm sure is a nice kid. Against Oregon, big-time opponent, 14 out of 25 for 137 yards and threw the interception in overtime. Against Notre Dame in the quarter, the semifinal, the college football playoff, 12 out of 23, 135 yards and an interception that was crucial and backbreaking. Against Boise State in the quarterfinal, 13 out of 25 for 171 yards. Against SMU in the first round, 127 yards on 13 out of 22 passing. In the conference championship, 20 out of 39, 51% completion percentage, 226 yards. Against Ohio State in the regular season last year, 12 out of 20, 146 yards and a pick. Anytime this guy plays a big game, he throws for 200 yards or less, with a completion percentage hovering around 50%. Guys, I wouldn't draft him in the second round. I would not draft Drew Aller. I mean, he needs development. I think he's got all the pieces. He's got the arm. He's got the size. He's got the mobility. But you need to take a guy who's clearly not a finished product and get him up to speed at the NFL level. I don't know that Arthur Smith's going to be back next year. I don't know that Arthur Smith's the right guy to do that. Anyhow, I ain't drafting Drew Aller.
He's in the wrong offense. And I think that if he got into a pro-style offense, which I know what James Franklin said that they were, but they aren't. Anybody who knows football knows that they aren't a pro-style offense. I think that he is in the wrong offense, and I don't think that his characteristics and attributes aid to what they're trying to do at Penn State on offense, and I think that they would be better in a pro-style type offense. So I am not going to sit here and say that I wouldn't draft Drew Aller just yet, because I think that if he was in a different offense, he would be a lot better. I said it.
Yeah, I agree with Doran. To a large extent, I don't totally agree with Thorne. I think he's in the wrong offense. I think that Andy Koldenicki's offense is gimmick-based. It's a hodgepodge. It's not a system. It works for the mobile quarterback. Say, Bo Prabula might have been a better choice for them this year.
Man, it's tough to get a guy like Prabula, though. You gotta get him in the transfer portal.
Well, or not let him leave before the college football playoff starts, which is unfortunate. But I'm just looking at Aller's sophomore season in 2023, where Mike Yurcich was the offensive coordinator and was ultimately fired in favor of Andy Koldenicki. He threw 25 touchdowns. He was a sophomore, mind you. 25 touchdowns and only two picks. Completed just short of 60% of his passes. Now, there were some bad performances in there.
Against good teams.
Well, he was a sophomore, right? But you beat West Virginia 21-29 for 325 and three touchdowns in the opener.
Not a good team.
You know, against Iowa, who was ranked at the time, he was 25-37, only 166 yards, but four touchdowns. Ohio State, 18-42, one touchdown, 191 yards. So a lot of the same themes were there, but I'm willing to give it a little bit of a pass because he was a sophomore. And they didn't have Catron Allen and, you know, like this rushing attack that they had. They were still, 10-3 that year? So it's a mystery to me. But I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think that he's limited in certain ways. And his weaknesses are being exposed by this offense. And his strengths aren't being played to.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the body of work would be much better if the coordinator designed the offense around him. As opposed to running his system and trying to plug Aller into it, even when it's a square peg in a round hole at times. Like running a quarterback power read on 4th and 2 with him is egregiously bad. I mean, just a terrible play call at that point in time. And it was a disaster. I mean, he got blown up. That's not him. And even there, you know, when they're late in games and had to come back, Oregon, even UCLA,
he played well at USC in the same circumstance last year.
It's more off-schedule stuff where he's making plays.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, too. I was watching, I think it was Joel Klatt, was giving Aller a little bit of a pass. Their receivers are not good. Like, they made a big deal out of taking Trevor Peña from Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good year at Syracuse. But, like, he's not Allen Robinson or some of the guys they've had in the past. They're not getting open.
Mm-mm.
And I've said this before. They didn't use Tyler Warren well last year. They didn't use him as a tight end, I should say. So they're not doing their pro prospects any favors playing the way they're playing on offense. And I don't think the tools or the system around Aller is maximizing who he can be. And ultimately, the results have been pretty bad this year.
You guys are probably right, and you're two football dudes who played at a high level in college ball. I'm just so tired of the excuses. Like, last year it was the receivers. Now it's the receivers again. And I realize that's not the full portion of your argument, but anytime he lines up against a good team, he sucks. He sucks. And he's making questionable decisions. And I said this year, he got everything I want. I just needed to see him win a big game, and he hasn't. And he lost a game he can't lose. And he got outplayed. The other quarterback was great.
Yeah, he really good. He got outplayed, but how about their high-rent defensive coordinator in this
no
defense
doubt.
Giving up 42 points to UCLA?
Right.
We calculated it yesterday with the help of smart businessman Doug Whaley. If they wanted to get rid of James Franklin, it would wind up with buyouts for the staff and Franklin and hiring a new coach. We're talking about $100 million.
100 plus, yeah.
That you're going to have to
the
spend.
Revenue.
Yes.
Sure.
And you're spending, yeah, right, $20 million on players. Like, it's... I mean, I almost feel like he has to crater to get fired.
Yes.
Like, I feel like they got to go like 7-5, 8-4.
And that, honestly, I mean, no Penn State, you know, fan wants to hear this right now. That could be, I mean, you think about Iowa, you think about Indiana, and you think about Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are, if I'm any team honestly playing Penn State from here on out, I feel like I have a chance. Where in the beginning of the season, you're like, well, man, that's going to be a big game.
And I would push back a little bit on Northwestern, but guess what Northwestern did 3 weeks ago?
Right.
They beat UCLA. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like
I don't care where you're playing. I don't care what the circumstances this year. If I'm a team in the Big Ten that plays Penn State, I feel like I have a chance for sure.
Nah, it's the travel.
Yeah, that.
I mean, Northwestern at Iowa, that'll be a rock fight.
Great teams go out to Iowa and lose routinely.
Yes.
Ohio State.
They ain't beating
in Columbus.
State.
They're not beating Indiana either.
Ohio State's defense with Matt Patricia in charge, like, if Aller's having trouble against UCLA and
yeah.
Oregon.
I mean, it's a guarantee. He's going to have under 200 yards.
If they lose,
it just is.
This is where it could get bad. They'll beat Northwestern. I think they'll beat Iowa. I do. If they lose to Ohio State, we'll be talking about the big game again. And then they come home. And they play Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Cignetti family. I know Kurt. They're going to bring that team is going to have their hair on fire.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And if they lose by 2 touchdowns to Indiana at home, and they're sitting there at 5-4 or 4-4, they're 3-2, they 5-4, it's going to get real hot. Because you should, if you're at Penn State, you should never lose to Indiana at home, given the resources you have.
It's October 9th. They haven't won a Power 5 game, Power 4 game, Penn State.
But then they finish Michigan State, Nebraska, Rutgers. So they could finish 8-4.
That's not good enough.
Not with a team that was a preseason top 5 team.
Mm-mm.
You've got Texas and Penn State out of the top 25.
Yep.
It never happened before.
I mean, it's not even just about Aller for me. It's the running backs, too. Like, you have NFL guys that chose to come back, guys that would have gotten drafted last year, and nobody has performed.
So what is it then? It's the offense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the offense.
Exactly.
And, you know, in year one, you know, it's like, I liken it to when Matt Canada went to LSU from Pitt. You know, you step up from Kansas, you come to Penn State, year one, obviously you catch some people off guard, you've got some unique stuff, you've got a unique player like Tyler Warren. I would compare Tyler Warren to differently a combination of like a Quadri Henderson and Jordan and George Aston. Like, you move them around. That 2016 Pitt offense that scored 42 points a game, he had weird pieces, mm-hmm. different pieces. I don't have them this year. We're going long, aren't we?
He's giving me the evil eye.
I'll tell him to wait. It caught up to him. People figured it out. And despite having better players up front and a better backfield, their receivers aren't good enough. So they've deployed resources incorrectly, and they're not. Their system is not conducive.
Pat was doing his best to fight a smile that entire segment. When we come back, me too, because Penn State.
There's no reason they should lose to UCLA.
No, never, never. I don't care.
I'm being serious. I'm actually not even smiling. This isn't like the pile on Penn State. I'm just.
I do think they're doing Drew Aller a disservice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really do, and I think they're doing their backs a disservice.
Absolutely.
Is it okay if I think he sucks too?
Who?
Aller. I think he sucks. I think the coordinator sucks. I think they all suck.
I think that's going too far. I don't think that
they'd be better with Pabula in this offense.
Their offense would be, yes.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
I don't think Drew Aller sucks, though. That's just me.
They suck.
He doesn't suck.
He sucks.
Has anyone spared a thought for Austin Bechtold this segment? Poor Penn State fan. Woo-hoo.
We've taken our share on the chin from Penn State fans over the years.
Exactly
right.
Nice to right.
dish it back a little bit.
That's why you guys are being nice and fair and unbiased, and I was lying before. It is
I was
trying to contain myself.
I know when something doesn't look right,
and
their offense does not look right.
Coming up next, we're going to quiz Callis because I have butchered the clock in a way that James Franklin did
the
end of the first half. We did a bad job with the clock right there. We're quizzing Callis next, and then we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. He had a tell on what the Steelers are planning on doing on offense against the Browns this week.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh! It's time to quiz Callis. Real quick, text her. Wonder if I'm doing windows for Grandma Crowley today. She got the same last name as you, Adam. My grandmas are dead.
Gosh.
Doran, you ready to quiz Callis?
Yes. Are you guys ready? Pat, you can join in on this one today, too.
Let's do it.
I think Callis is going to need some help here.
Awesome.
All right. With the Penguins starting the season this past Tuesday, I am going to say the last name of 12 all-time Pittsburgh Penguins, and Callis and Patty have to say the first name.
Can I go first since it's quiz Callis?
Yes, absolutely.
And then if I get it wrong, it'll be Pat's turn?
Correct. When you do, yeah.
When yes. Pat guesses, does that count toward my total?
He only gets one guess.
But if he gets it right, would that count toward my total?
Maybe. We'll think about that.
What a twist.
We'll think about that. So do you know the rules? You say the first name. Well, I say the last name, and then you say the first name.
Oh, was I supposed to be paying attention? I'm sorry. You say the last name. I say the first name.
Yes. All-time Pittsburgh Penguins. Everybody knows every single guy on this list that pays attention a little bit to the Pittsburgh Penguins. All right?
Aye, aye, Captain Doran.
All right. We have 12 of them. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, Lemieux.
Mario. I don't know how to.
That is correct. Yeah. But why? Okay. That is correct.
I hesitated because I didn't know if you were going to ding me on a pronunciation.
No,
you're
good.
Ticky-tacky.
You're good. Number two, Crosby.
Sydney.
That is correct. You're 2 for 2. Look at that. Number three, Jager.
Jaromir.
3 for 3.
Spell it.
No, that's not part of the quiz.
Three for three.
He said Jaromir.
We should have did the over-under, but you're 3 for 3.
Jaromir Jager.
There you go. Good job, Callis. Number four, Barrasso.
Mike. Mike Barrasso.
That is incorrect. Patrick Bostic.
Steve. I have no idea.
That is incorrect.
Yay.
Yay.
Why are you happy about that?
The correct answer is Tom Barrasso. One of the best goalies in Penguins history. No, you're not going to get this. Number five, Kasparaitis.
I can't wait.
I'll give you a clue.
No clues.
I won't give you a clue.
Kasparaitis. Al.
Al. He went with Al. Al Kasparaitis. That is incorrect.
Sounds like it could work.
No, it does not.
Is it
Pat?
Darius?
Yeah.
Good job, Pat Bostic. Darius Kasparaitis. Great job, Pat.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That does not count towards your total, Callus, by the way. All right, number six.
Al.
Number six. Straka.
Eric.
That is incorrect.
All I can think of is Sepp, the golfer. Yeah. I don't know who Straka is. Steve.
Nope.
That'd be a good name, though.
That would be a good name. Martin or Marty. Straka. Marty Straka.
That rings a bell. I should have known that.
Yep, you should have. Number seven. Francis.
Come on.
Francis.
Frank Francis.
Frank
Francis.
That is incorrect.
Ron.
There you go, Pat. Good job. Ron Francis. He's a Hall of Famer.
Crowley, like that one. Look at him. He's down.
I'm 2 for 4 on my guesses.
All right, Callus. Here you go. Let's get you back in the winning column. Malkin, number 8.
Oh, Evgeny.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Pause.
You scared me there.
Sorry, my friend just texted me and said, sorry for your loss, and I don't know why he said that.
Oh, grandma.
Well, my grandmas are dead. They've been dead for longer than Crowley's.
Number 9. Kennedy.
Tyler.
That is correct. Tyler Kennedy.
TK, all downhill from here.
Number 10. Coffee.
Coffee?
Coffee.
Kapov.
Kapov? Is that, that's the name of it? Oh, I get a cup of coffee. Good one, Crowley. I don't know. We'll go with Derek.
That is incorrect.
Paul.
Paul Coffey is correct. Good job, Pat. Number 11. You better get this one. Flurry.
Well, that's a trick question because he has 2 first names.
Oh.
Mark Andre.
There you go. Good job. Good job. All right. Last but not least. Bork.
Phil.
There you go. Good job.
Atta boy.
Wasn't that bad. Good job. I didn't keep track, but... Did you keep track, Riley?
Yeah, he got 8 correct.
Pretty good.
8 out of 12, that's a passing grade by a lot.
I got Marty Straka. I got to remember that. And then the other one I messed up was...
Brasso.
See, you're a football guy not from here. So this is totally fine
Remind
for
me,
you.
Brasso was...
Tommy.
Tommy Brasso.
Yeah.
Goalie, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I met a woman.
Now, if you would ask me about, like, Eric Lindros and Steve LeClaire...
Yes.
The old...
That was John LeClaire.
John LeClaire, sorry. Who was their goalie back then? Devils was Marty Brodeur.
Ron Hextall.
Yeah. And then I became, came to Pitt. They win the Stanley Cup my sophomore year. It's been all Penguins since. I'm such a turncoat, and I love it about myself.
I love that about you, too. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. After my... girlfriend at the time, now my wife, broke up with me in college. I was at a bar, met a nice lady. She said she was from Steubenville. I said I was from Steubenville. I told her my name was Tom Brasso, and we exchanged digits.
Mm.
Never heard from her again.
Yeah.
Gina, nice girl.
She probably looked you up and said, that's not Tom Brasso.
That is correct.
But
Why would you give him, were you not interested?
I don't know. Everything's a bit to me. Like, do you want to sleep with this nice young lady? Of course I do.
Yeah.
But I don't want her to know
my name. I'd rather wear her underwear to work.
I've set myself up for that one. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of 62 today, low of 42. Clear skies.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.